Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
We think about the theme of, can we know God? How can we know God? Is there a God? Does God exist? This was an advertising campaign that appeared on London buses a few years ago. You may remember it. And the slogan said, there's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. And the thing I like about this particular advert is they're kind of hedging their bets. There's probably no God. You know, the agnostic saying there's probably no God. I think Shami didn't really have the real conversation saying there's no God. But what we're thinking about is the fact that we can know that there's a God. We can know him. And he wants to know us. In these all-age services, we've been picking up a number of questions and issues, things to think about to do with the Christian faith. We thought last time, David picked up the idea, is God made up? And the idea of idols, that we make up gods, idols of created things. But today we want to think about this question, how do I know God exists and wants to know me? I wanted to put that in because we're not just here thinking about a question of how to answer people's questions, though that is very important. And lots of what we say today will help us to do that. But how do I know God exists and wants to know me? This is the great truth of Christianity, that the one true living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, wants to know us. Lots of questions related to this. How can I know there's a God? How can I know him? What is he like? Questions which we may be asked by non-Christian friends, people that we know. And I want us to look at the first few verses of Hebrews 1. So look at these verses, and they're down on the service sheet. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The writer to the Hebrews is writing to Hebrew Christians, and they're in danger of giving up on Jesus. There's persecution, there's difficulties, and he wants to warn them about going back to something which wasn't as good as what they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first point I want to make about in answering this question is this, that God wants us to know him, so he speaks. What a fantastic thing to be able to say, to the people that we know, to reassure ourselves that God wants us to know him, so he speaks. So he speaks. I've told this story a few times before in my time at Trinity about Julia's favourite uncle, Uncle Desmond. And Uncle Desmond used to come every Christmas to be with the family. He was a single man, very, very interesting man. And he would come. And I can still visualise him because I started going out with Julia, go sometimes spend Christmas with him, and obviously got married and spend Christmas with them. And he was there, sat in the same chair, and there'd be the ritual of the Denham family giving out their presents. We all have little traditions and rituals at Christmas. And Julia would give to her Uncle Desmond a box of plain chocolates. Now, this happened year after year after year. And he would unwrap them and pass them round. And then 1 year, I think there'd been probably 20 years of this, he said this: I don't really like plain chocolates. Now, this caused consternation in the family, and Julia was not really mortified for long. But he spoke. Uncle Desmond spoke. After all these years, I don't really like plain chocolates. If only he'd spoken the very first time that his dear Julia had given him plain chocolates, then she'd have known. But the hurt, if you like, was magnified, you know, all the times that he'd said. But the point is, to know anyone, we need them to speak. It'd be very odd, don't say hooray, if I just stood here and didn't say anything. To know anyone, we need them to speak. And God wants us to know him, so he speaks. We don't have to guess what he's like and what he wants. He wants us to know him. And in this verse in Hebrews, in the past, the writer writes, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. He's writing to Hebrews Christians, and he wants to tell them that God did speak, but there's something even better in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he used the word forefathers there. Who does he mean? Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, David, many more. He spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. We'll come to some prophets in a moment. But just think of one example. God speaks a promise to Abraham. I've just picked one part of it here, that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, Genesis 12. So God speaks to call a people to know him, and his blessing will be for all peoples from every nation. So it's not just going to be for that Old Testament people, but it's going to be for all peoples from every nation. God speaks a great promise, foundational promise of the Bible. God speaks to Moses, if we were to move on. Look at this great revelation. God making himself known, Yahweh, the Lord. And he, God, passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. This is God, the Lord Yahweh, revealing. This is what he's like, speaking. Because he promised to save his people from slavery, and he did that. So God speaks so we can know him and his character. God speaks to King David through the prophet Nathan. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. A great promise. God speaks to promise his king in the line of David, who will reign forever in a kingdom that will last forever, and all for the Lord's name, for my name. So God is speaking in different ways, the writer says, to our forefathers through the prophets. God speaks to promise through the prophet Isaiah, this great prophecy that we know. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. So God speaks and promises his suffering servant, who will deal with our sin problem. God speaks to promise through the prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit on all people. So God promises his spirit for people from all nations who turn to him. So there's the writer to the Hebrews saying to these Hebrew Christians who are in danger of giving up on what is even better than this. This is wonderful. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Now, reminded last time, I thought wonderfully clearly, visually wonderfully clearly, that idols are dumb. Psalm 115, verse 5, idols have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. The one true God, the God and Father of Jesus, speaks. And he wants us to know him. Glorious truth. That the one true God is the speaking God. He is not dumb. Now you might say, having seen all of that, surely it would be much better if God came in person to speak. Of course it's better that God comes in person to speak. It's interesting, that's exactly the issue that was confronting these Hebrew Christians, that the writer wants to convince them again about, that of course it's better that God has spoken in the person of his Son. Look at this. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. So God wants us to know him, so he speaks fully and finally and perfectly in his Son, the Lord Jesus, who comes. Just a word about the last days. People get very confused about that phrase, the last days. You know, was it sometime in the 2nd century? Was it sometime in the 16th century? Was it sometime in the 20th century or the 21st century? The last days is the period of time from the ascension of Jesus, him going back to heaven, to his return. So that is all the last days. So yes, these are the last days. And God speaks fully, finally, in his Son in these last days. So God's Son makes known everything that God wants to be known about himself. He sends his Son to do the speaking. And all those promises that we read about, we heard about in the first part, what we might call the Old Testament promises, come true in him. If you like, the Old Testament is the promise. God speaks promises. And the Son comes, and all of them are coming true in him. In his life and death and resurrection and ascension, his present reign, they're coming true as he reigns and works through us, his people in the church, and when he comes again, these last days. They're coming true in and through the Son. John 1, verse 18 says this, "No one has seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." What a glorious truth that is, that God has made himself known through sending his Son. The Father sends the Son to make himself known. And it's, as many of you will know, in John 1, of course, the Son is the Word. This is God speaking. Everything he wants to say and that we need to know is there in the Son. He perfectly reveals God fully, finally. Now, at the first service, I got us to think about this, that people think that God is hiding from us. And I played a game of hide-and-seek, or rather it was non-hide-and-seek. Because what I did was I got a couple of the young people to be those who I was going to hide, and they were going to seek me. And I went and hid behind this table. I just about squeezed behind the table. And then they set out to try to find me. And I shouted from behind here, "Here I am! Here I am!" I should have shouted, "Find me! Here I am!" And of course they did. And I said to them, "Well, that wasn't really much of a game of hide and seek, was it? So let's do it again." So they went back and they covered their eyes. And then the next time, I didn't hide behind the table. I came down the aisle saying, here I am, I've come to find you. And that's the truth, the great truth of what God is doing. God is not playing hide and seek with us. So many people think that around us. We think in a moment about why they think that. But God is not playing hide and seek with us. God's Son says he has come, I could pick out loads of things that he said, to seek and to save lost sinners like you and me. He's come to seek and to save. Jesus says constantly, I am, taking the great name of God upon himself. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Now, to be confident that God's Son is all we need to know God, that he is the full and final and perfect revelation, making God known, the writer to the Hebrews just picks up a number of things. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on these, but this would be a great thing to meditate on through this week from God's Word. Maybe take 5 minutes to meditate on one of these through this coming week. Look what he says, whom he appointed heir of all things. So as the Son and heir, everything in this world belongs to him. Through whom he made all things. So the whole universe was made by God through his Son. So this is to be confident that God's Son is all that we need to know God. He's the one who made the whole universe. The Son is the radiance of his glory. The Son is the light of God shining in a dark world. I was trying to think of a simple way to explain that in one sentence. The Son is the light of God shining in a dark world. The exact representation of his being, the Son truly and fully shows us the character of God openly, all that we need, fully, perfectly, finally. Here's one. They all deserve meditation. Here's one I find mind-blowing. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. So all things that happen in this world, because the Son speaks his will, his word. It's worth reflecting on that. The moment the Son decides that you and I won't have physical life, we will breathe our last breath. But of course, as we trust him, we're absolutely secure for eternity. He's all we need. I find that mind-blowing to think of. Everything that's happening is sustained by this Son. You see, we have far too small a view of the Son. Far too small a view of the Lord Jesus. After he had provided purification for sins, the Son has purified or cleansed all sins by his death. Another great theme of Hebrews, that his great work of dealing with the sin problem has been completed in fulfillment of that Isaiah prophecy. The Son has purified or cleansed all sins by his death. He sat down. The work was finished. And he's enthroned at the right hand of God. And the Son now sits, ruling and giving help and care and forgiveness and grace. All that we need is found in the Son, God's full and final and perfect revelation of himself. We don't need anything else or anyone else. So God wants us to know him, so he speaks fully and finally and perfectly in his Son. So some things to think about through this week. Don't neglect this salvation by ignoring the Son. You would say, well, of course I wouldn't do that. But these Hebrew Christians were in danger of doing that, just forgetting the Lord Jesus, going back But the writer wants to say, no, look how good, how much better this is. So don't neglect this salvation by ignoring the sun. And don't hide in darkness. Now, this is something I think we need to say to people gently and clearly, that God is not hiding. The light of the world has come into the world, but John's gospel tells us that light has come, but men and women prefer darkness. In their sin, we prefer darkness. Don't hide in darkness. Come into the light of the sun. Romans 1 talks about how men and women, they know the truth. It's all around them in creation, but they suppress the truth. They suppress the truth. They keep it down about the fact that there is a God. And they exchange the truth of God for a lie, and they worship idols, the created things. Because, of course, to acknowledge there is a God is to make themselves accountable to him. So they suppress that. People don't want to answer to Jesus, so they hide in the darkness. So the light has come. The evidence is overwhelming. We need to show people the evidence, don't we, in how we try to witness to them and help them. But we need to call people out occasionally. So don't hide in the darkness. As I always say to people, the problem is very rarely intellectual with people. In other words, it's not the evidence is lacking. I think the evidence is overwhelming. Come and look at it. The problem is moral, because, of course, to come to the light, into the light, means that you will have to change. And gloriously, you will be changed. Of course, we need to show that's for the better. And then know God's Son. Isn't this wonderful? God wants us to know him, so he speaks. So know God's Son, his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his faithfulness. He will always be with us, his presence, he will always be with us. He won't let us down. He'll keep all his promises that he makes in his Son. His power to transform, kept his promise to send the Spirit. So every single person who trusts the Lord Jesus has his Spirit at work to transform and to change. His hope. Isn't that glorious this week? We're not in the dark. He wants us to know him, so he speaks. And we want to know God's Son fully this week. And then lastly, obviously, to listen to God's Son obediently in his word. How foolish not to, that God speaks fully, finally, perfectly in his Son. So we want to read his word and do as he wishes. Let's pray. Father, please help us this week to reflect more on these glorious truths, that you are the God who speaks, and you speak fully, finally, perfectly, in these last days, in and through your Son. Please help us through this week to meditate, reflect prayerfully on these things, not just to let another week rush by, but to delight to know your Son and to know all the blessings and riches that we have in him. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.